Good morning, everyone. Matthew chapter 25. We'll read just the one verse. We're moving on to the final section of this wonderful parable. An important section it is. Verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Solemn, solemn words, boys and girls. Solemn words indeed. I was noticing, just as I looked at the passage this morning before I came here, how that the Savior said in verse 34 to the righteous who were on his right hand that they were to come inherit the kingdom prepared. There is a place prepared, made ready for each one that seeth. Now in this verse 41, the Savior says to those on his left, the unsaved, he says to them, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared." So there's a place prepared for the lost as well. A fire that has been prepared for as long as the fires of damnation have been prepared. Must be hot fires indeed. We need to tremble as we read these words. You will notice too, just in considering the actual words, you will notice too how that the title that the Lord Jesus employs and gives to those who are on his right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father," whereas those on his left hand, verse 41, "Depart from me, ye cursed." One is under a blessing, the blessing of the Father. The other is under the curse of God. They that are blessed of God are blessed indeed. Blessed of God means there is absolutely nothing missing from their experience. Every good thing rests upon their head. As those who are cursed of God, it's beyond our understanding how dreadful that must be. Well, let me observe with you, first of all, how that when the Savior assembled all the professing church, for that's who this great multitude is, the professing church. Now, in the professing church, there are those who are really saved and there are those who are not saved. Just as when the Lord comes, he finds in the great multitude sheep and goats. They look very alike. They probably, to a large degree, sound alike. And even maybe act and behave in a similar fashion. But oh, they're two different animals. Two different animals. And he speaks first of all to the sheep. Now, we have studied that at length. But I want you to notice that as he is speaking with those on his right hand, those on his left hand would have heard everything he said. Would have heard everything he said. The blessings that he was bestowing upon the sheep, they would have heard that. And I believe too, it would have begun to dawn on them. He's not speaking to us. He has separated us from those on his right hand. He's not looking at us as he's pronouncing these blessings. You could nearly say his back was toward them, because if he turned to those on his right, well, those on his left, he had his back toward them. And they must have been beginning, if they hadn't realized it to some degree before, they certainly were now beginning to realize he's putting a difference between us and them. Listen to me, boys and girls. If you're not saved, there is a big difference between you and the one beside you who is saved. The brother, the sister who is saved. There's a difference. There's a difference. As somebody coming in, indeed, we here in the church and in the school, but somebody coming from the outside, coming and looking at you all, they couldn't tell the difference. But there is a difference between those who are saved and those who are lost. And if it's not recognized in our lifetime, it certainly will be recognized in eternity. And in this instance, all the living, professing Christians are gathered together when the Savior returns. And though Many there would have thought themselves, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Suddenly they found themselves not amongst the righteous and the redeemed. They were not being spoken to when blessing was being pronounced. The back of Christ was toward them, and it began to dawn on these goats, we are not the same. I don't think as they listened to the Saviour's words to the righteous, to the redeemed, to the sheep, that they would have fully recognized their condition and how they stood, but it was beginning to dawn on them. Listen, boys and girls, it's a great mercy to realize early in life, I'm not saved. I'm not amongst God's people. I'm not one of the Lord's. There's a difference between me and those who are saved. That's a great mercy. Better to learn that now than to learn that when Jesus comes again. Part of the judgment then, that was to fall upon the wicked, is hearing the reward that's coming to the redeemed. Oh, there must have been a building up within the hearts of those on the left, the goats, those who were not saved. There must have been a building up in their hearts, a dread. These blessings that are bestowed upon the others, they're not going to come to us. He's not speaking to us. We're separated from those upon whom he is bestowing these blessings. We're not going to get these blessings. And it's beginning to dawn on them. That's the beginnings of the torments of the lost, as they realize they are lost and they are not going to enter into the blessings that are being given to the flock of God. If you're not one of God's children, you can't expect to be treated the same as God's children. If you've ever been down at the beach with the family, you will have seen other family groups. And maybe there's the old ice cream van, and off goes a mammy or a daddy to the ice cream van, and they stand for a while, and then they come back and they're holding a whole bunch of cones. But they don't come to you with one. They just go to their little boys and little girls, because you're not part of the family. And you have to watch as they begin to lick with great joy those ice creams, but there's none for you. You're not part of that family. And really, you don't expect that lady to have bought you an ice cream. You're going to ask your mum now, go please and get us some ice cream, or give me the money and I'll go. But you don't expect that lady to buy you an ice cream, because you're not part of that family. If you're not part of God's family, you will not be treated as are those who are part of God's family. And it was beginning to dawn upon the goats, we're going to be dealt with differently. We're separated from the sheep, and we're not going to be treated in the way that they have been treated. What a dreadful contrast there is, boys and girls, between what the Saviour said to the sheep and what he said to the goats. Now we have looked at the titles. To the sheep he called them the blessed, but he's speaking to the goats here and he calls them ye cursed. I think you will understand that no two words can be more different than the word bless and the word curse. What a dreadful thing it must be to hear the Saviour address you and give you that title, ye cursed. You're under a curse, under the curse of God. God's face toward you is a face of anger, a face of wrath, a face of judgment. God's face toward the righteous is a face of blessing and love. There is, if I can put it like this, there is a smile upon the face of God as he looks upon his righteous, but there is no smile upon his face as he looks upon the ungodly. They are cursed of God. The mind of God toward them is framed entirely in a different manner than toward the redeemed. And they are beginning to realize that as they see the contrast beginning to build. If it never was plain before, it will be plain then. It's hard to get sinners to recognize they're sinners and not Christians. It's hard to get men and women to recognize they're not going to heaven. They're going to hell. It's hard to get folk to recognize that. They'll argue with you. Oh, no, 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 you've got it wrong. I'm not like that. I'm not as bad as you think I am. Of course, you're not expressing to them what you think. You're expressing to them what God says. Because if you're not born again, you're on your way to hell. That's what God said, not what we say. But you can't get people to believe that. But they're beginning to believe it now. The Lord Jesus is saying it to them. Depart from me, ye cursed. They never thought about this, never really let it in on them, but now they're understanding. When the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus at the beginning, he said to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was a professor, let's call him that. He was a leader of the Jews. He was a man well educated, very educated in the law of God with regards its contents, though he didn't really understand them. And when the Savior said to him, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus scratched his head and he said, how can these things be? I don't understand this. He didn't believe the Lord. He didn't believe the Lord. But I tell you now, those who had been puzzled, as it were, and unbelieving, and that's why they were puzzled. If they had believed the word of God, they wouldn't be puzzled, but they were puzzled because they rejected the plain words of God. But now they're beginning to understand, we're lost, we're lost. They had listened to the Savior speaking to the redeemed, and they had heard the words he uttered to them. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Do you know something? If you're not saved this morning, you have never heard the Lord Jesus speaking with his saints. You've never heard his voice. In the church service, as the word of God is being preached, there are Christians there, and as they're listening, they hear the voice of the Lord speaking to them and telling them sweet and precious things. But you don't hear it, because you're not saved. You're not saved. And maybe you go out of the service and you say, what is all that about? Don't understand a word that was said, really. Glad it's over. Get away home. Whereas the Christian's going out and saying, that was a sweet word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. For encouraging me, for lifting the burden from my heart, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord. I heard your voice today, but you didn't hear it. And I say that this gathering, when the Savior comes back, is rather unique in that the ungodly are hearing Christ speaking to his people, as they would never, never have heard him speak before, and they're realizing he's speaking to them, he's not speaking to us. It's a dreadful thing, boys and girls, to begin to realize I'm not part of the Lord's flock. I want you to notice that when the Savior explains to them, as he had explained to the righteous, he said to them, come, inherit the kingdom, and then he explained why they were being allowed into the kingdom. And here he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 42, for. Then he begins to explain why. They're not getting into heaven, but rather being sent to the fires of judgment. For, he says. And in response to the explanation that he gives, verse 44 says, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? They're arguing. They're contradicting. They're calling the Lord a liar. They're correcting him. Or attempting to. Because even there, on that dreadful day, they still don't understand that they're lost. They don't understand that they're not saved. They don't understand the Word of God. We read in God's Word in Ephesians, where Paul states the case of the darkness that there is upon the minds of the ungodly. It's Ephesians 4. Here's what he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That is the condition of the unconverted man or woman or boy or girl. If you're not converted today, then upon your heart there's dark. there's blindness, there's ignorance, and you're separated from God. And you can't understand the gospel. That's why the Lord must open our eyes. That's why the Lord must, by His grace and power, work a work within us and make us live and open our eyes and our understanding to the truth of God. Has that been done in you? Have you been born again? You see, these on the left hand, they weren't born again, and they're still in ignorance. Why? Why are you doing this? When did we not do the things that you say we didn't do? They're challenging Christ. That's what men and women have done all their days in their unsaved state. They've challenged God. The preacher is challenged when he preaches the gospel. I don't believe that. That's not so. That's not true. The Lord Jesus was challenged constantly. They said to him, "You're the devil. You're speaking like the devil." That's what they said to him, because they didn't understand what he was saying. It was contrary to their thinking. And here it's the same. "You're wrong. What you say about us is wrong. The things you say we didn't do, we did do." That's the state of men, boys and girls. The ungodly will challenge the Lord as they listen to His word in their lifetime, and they'll challenge Him still in eternity. Let me tell you something. While not going into a full explanation, did you ever wonder why the punishment that God lays upon the unsaved never ends? Never ends. If you do something wrong in school, you get punished, but the punishment comes to an end. We used to, in our days in school, we used to get caned. I remember one day our whole class, our teacher was late, we were lined up in the corridor waiting to go into the classroom, the teacher was late, and of course, lined up, nobody there. It soon was jostling and pushing and wrestling and all the rest of it, and noise. And out came the deputy headmaster from a nearby classroom, and he had a cane with him, bamboo. And he said, "What are you boys making all this noise about? Right, hold your hand out." And you held your hand out, and he whacked that hand as hard as he could. Three on that hand, and three on that hand. And I want to tell you, the only noise that was heard after that was as you tried to cool down your hands. He whacked as hard as he could. And that happened quite frequently, let me tell you. And not a bit of harm it did us. But that was the end of the punishment. He went down the whole class, maybe 30 lads. He went down the whole class, whacked each one of them. And he didn't go to the start of the row again and start over and whack them all again. And then all again, and all again, and all again. He didn't do that. He just did it the once. The punishment ended. But God's punishment doesn't end. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because man's sin doesn't end. Here are these ungodly. And do they show any signs of repentance or sorrow over how they treated the Lord and His people? No. They're challenging the Lord. Their heart is still sinful, stubborn, rebellious, defying the Lord. And do you know, at this moment in hell, Cain is still defying the Lord. That's why his punishment continues. If that old deputy headmaster, his name was Mr. Taylor, if when he had caned us all, we had started shouting, "Oh, we don't care about your caning," he would have started again. If we were still in a rebellious mood, if we were still prepared to shout and break the rules, as it were, he would have caned us again, but he didn't cane us again because we were subdued. But in hell, sinners are not subdued. They go on rebelling, and that's why their punishment goes on. Oh, boys and girls, give thought to these things here. Just let your mind go forward and imagine this day and ask yourself, where will I be? Is it on the right hand side, listening to the blessings? Or will I be there on the left hand side, being told I'm cursed of God and I'm going to be sent to the everlasting fires that have been prepared for the devil and his angels? May the Lord enable you to think on these things, and enable you to recognize your need of salvation, and to see in the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior. May you come to Him today. Let's bow in prayer, please. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that You will write Your Word on every heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, as only Thou canst, enlighten the minds of boys and girls here to their true state. If they're saved, Lord, fill their heart with joy. But if they're not saved, fill their heart with an awareness of their lost condition and make them cry out, what must I do to be saved? Bless the school today and undertake for it, I ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.